But friends, I think I don't need to tell you how difficult this year has been. It has been an unusual and painful year. Personally, in our own family, not just the pandemic, but there's some personal tragedies that have brought much sadness into our year. And one of the things that has sustained us, well, actually two things that have sustained us as a family during this time. One of them is watching Korean dramas. Somehow it takes your mind off reality and brings you into a different world. But the second thing that has sustained us during this time is the kindness of friends. You've experienced it too, perhaps during your circuit breaker. All of a sudden, there's an unexpected knock on the door or a ring of the bell. You open it, and there's a delivery person bringing either some food or a small gift. And as you savor that gift or eat that food, all of a sudden, the world doesn't seem like such a gloomy place. Friends, meaningful gifts have a certain power to them, don't they? They have a certain power to soothe us. Now, why? I read an article in the Harvard Business Review today that quoted a Canadian psychologist by the name of Elizabeth Dunn. Now, she has an amazing job. She is a happiness researcher. And in her research, she says, gifts worth investing in are those that help us bring strong connections to the people that we care about. You feel happy when you're making a real connection, seeing the impact the gift has on someone. Dunn is saying when you give a gift to someone, what you're doing is you're establishing a certain connection between you and the person that receives the gift. Now, Gan Shrivener, who wrote the book The Gift, which you will read, in the book, he says this, when it comes to important presents, not frivolous presents, but important presents, we put ourselves into them. They're not just things, they communicate us and how much the other person means to us. You see what these two people are saying? When you give a gift to someone, you're establishing a connection with that person. And not only are you establishing a connection with that person, you're communicating something of yourself to that person in that meaningful gift. You're sharing a part of yourself with the other person, which is why gifts are so meaningful and gifts are so powerful. Well, friends, as you know, we're about to celebrate Christmas. And at Christmas, Christians celebrate what God has given to us, the most precious gift of all, the gift of His Son. And in doing so, not only does He create a connection with us as humanity, He communicates a part of Himself to us. Now, many of you have invited friends. Thank you so much for being here with us. And I don't presume that all of us here believe in what I've just said. I don't presume that we all believe in God. I don't presume that we all believe that God had a Son that He gave to us. Now, there are lots of books and much literature out there that could give you proofs for the existence of God and for the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we don't have time for that tonight. I could commend some literature to you, but what I would like to ask of you tonight is to play a game with me, a game of what if. What if? Think along with me. What if there is a possibility that what the Bible says is true? What if there really is a God? And what if this God really has communicated Himself to us and made Himself known? What if this God can really fix all that is sad, all that is broken, and all that is dying in this world? What if all of that were true? What if, friends, you give me just a few minutes as I unpack John 3:16 for you today and show you the immense gift that Christmas is to humanity. So join me as we look at three quick things from John 3:16. We see a loving God, a languishing world, and a life-giving gift. Now, John 3:16, some of us know it by heart. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. God gives us His Son, and this verse tells us why He gives us His Son. What motivates it? Giving His Son to us. And it tells us it's because He so loved the world. It's God's love for the world that motivated Him to give us His Son. Another passage, 1 John 4:8, actually says God is love. Now, what does it mean that God is love? It means that He is the embodiment of love. Friends, do you notice how love moves us? When we see two people falling in love, or when we see self-sacrificial acts of love, it does something to us. It moves us deeply. Do you wonder why? Well, the Bible's answer is very simple. It's because you and I are made in the image and the likeness of God. We are made to be like God. And God is love. Now, the question is, how is God love? Isn't that quite conceptual? Isn't that quite esoteric? How is it that God is love? And the Bible's answer is a bit complex, but also very simple. At the very heart of who God is not simply unity, but triunity. The Bible reveals to us a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are not three gods, they are one God, but neither are they a simple unity, they are a triunity. At the heart of the universe is a God that is completely and utterly unique. He is not simply a simple being, he is three in one. Now, friends, is that too esoteric for Christmas Eve? Too difficult? Too conceptual? Well, let me tell you why that matters and why that gives Christmas the meaning that it has. The first reason is simply this. If you were to ask me to invent a religion, I would not include the doctrine of the Trinity. You know why? It made me read so many books in seminary. It gives me so many difficult questions to answer as I'm talking to my non-Christian friends. It's simply difficult to understand as well as to communicate. Friends, the only reason why I as a pastor and we as Christians believe in the Trinity is because it's there in the scriptures and it's difficult to understand. If I were to invent a religion, I would make it simple. I would make it persuasive. I wouldn't make it so difficult. But the fact that there is a doctrine so difficult to grasp tells me that there's something true about what I'm reading. There's something amazing about what's being revealed here. So that's the first reason. But the second reason is simply this. Love matters so much to us as human beings. And this gives us the reason why love matters so much. Because at the very heart and the being of God is not a single person, but three persons in relationship. Self-sacrificial, self-giving, eternal, loving relationship. The Father loves the Son loves the Father loves the Spirit loves the Father. They are in eternal, self-giving love. And friends, if God is truly God, and He is at the heart of the universe, what that tells us is, at the heart of ultimate reality, at the heart of the universe, is love. You don't need to be cynical about the world. You don't need to be cynical about love, because truly, at the foundation of existence and reality is relationship and love. And that is what Christmas tells us. We have a God who is a loving God. He's not a simple being. He is three in one. This is a God of love. And in His love, He has given us a member of the Trinity. The Son of God, God the Son, came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. He has communicated something of who He is to us in the person of Jesus Christ. He has created a connection and He has given us a part of who He is at Christmas. And friends, you know what's even more surprising? He has given a part of who He is to us. He's given Himself to us, not when we are lovable, but when we are completely unlovable. Because John 3:16 says that He has given us His Son so that we would not perish. The world is perishing and the world is languishing. And hasn't 2020 taught us that? That the world is not okay. Something is broken. Something is wrong. Now, what is wrong with the world? What is wrong with the world? Well, a few verses down in John 3:19, it says, people loved the darkness and their works were evil. They loved the darkness and their works were evil. The Bible's explanation of what is wrong with the world is the old-fashioned word, sin. Now, we don't like the word sin. We don't like the concept of sin. We only talk about sin when we're talking about chocolate. But sin is a word that is so important and quite often misunderstood. Because when I said the word sin, what came into your mind was probably something horrendous like murder or rape or stealing or cheating. That is what comes into your mind when you hear the word sin. But John 3:19 defines sin as people loving the darkness before their works are evil. So sin isn't just about doing bad things. Sin is about loving the wrong things. At the heart of sin is the matter of the heart. It's what we love. The first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Now, what that means is the Bible tells us that God is our highest good. And if we place something else besides God at the center of our lives, we break ourselves. We cut ourselves off from what is most essential and most needed for human flourishing. Friends, the Bible's concept of sin has its roots in what we love. Now, some of you have heard this story many times, but there are many among us who are new. But when my daughter, Caitlin, was much younger, I think she was about 3 years old, she had a teddy bear that she liked. And one day, she was playing with a plastic bag. Very bad parents, how you let kids play plastic bag. Okay? But she took that teddy bear, she put it into the plastic bag, and she tied it up. Okay, so being a good father that I am, I thought, this is a great opportunity to teach my daughter about oxygen. So I said to Caitlin, "Hey, Caitlin, you know you put the teddy bear in the plastic bag and you tie it up. How is the bear going to breathe?" Very smart, right? You know what she does? She looks at me and she says, "Papa, it's a teddy bear. It doesn't need to breathe. It's a teddy bear. It doesn't need to breathe." But friends, you and I are not teddy bears. You and I are human beings. And we're made in the image and the likeness of God. God is our source. And when we cut ourselves from God by placing other things apart from Him at the center of our lives, we're cutting ourselves off from the oxygen of our souls. And that is why we perish. And that is why we languish. Not just as persons, but as communities and as a creation. That is why the world is so messed up. We have cut ourselves off from the oxygen of our souls. I like to teach my kids in a very simple way. I've been using this for years. How do you understand sin? I say, look at the word sin. S-I-N. Cover the S, cover the N. And what are you left with? I. Sin is saying to God, "I don't want you. You've made me. You've given me breath. You've given me everything in life. You love me. You want me. But I don't want you." Sin is people loving the darkness before it is doing works of evil. That is at the heart of what is wrong with the world. We make good things ultimate things. It's like, friends, whiskey. Whiskey can be a good beverage. It can help us. It can be used wisely. But friends, if whiskey is your choice for quenching every thirst, I think you would be in trouble. And that is what sin is, friends. Making good things ultimate things. Having other things in our hearts and in our lives before God. Loving the darkness and not loving God. And the wonder of it all, friends, is that God, who is love, still sends His Son as the greatest gift to you and I. Not when we are lovable, not when we want Him, not when we've embraced Him, but when we've rejected Him. When we have loved other things, God in His love and God in His mercy has still sent His Son, Jesus Christ, on Christmas Day to a humanity that doesn't want Him. And He's given His Son to us as a life-giving gift. He says in verse 16, "Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Take a moment and think about that, friends. Think about what you just heard. We love the darkness. But he has sent his one and only Son to come and win our hearts. Though we are perishing, he has come to give us eternal life. And how can he do that? Well, friends, the only way that he can do that is to give Jesus Christ, born on earth, to come and live and die for us. Even as we celebrate Christmas, we look forward in a few months' time to Good Friday, where Jesus died, and Easter, where he rises again. You see, friends, the way that God can give us Jesus as a life-giving gift is for him to come and die for our sins, to pay for all that we have done wrong so that we can go free. And Jesus is that life-giving gift. And when we embrace him by faith, it tells us that we can have eternal life. Friends, what do you do with a precious gift? And what gives most honor to the one giving you that precious gift? Well, one of the first things you must do when you get that precious gift is to open it, to enjoy it, to receive it, and then to text or call the person who gave that to you and to thank him or her for it. And friends, that is what we have to do with Jesus. There's a loving God who, into a languishing world and a perishing people like you and I, has given us a life-giving gift that saves us from our sins and that unites us with him. What we must do is open the gift, receive it, enjoy it, and thank him for it. You acknowledge yourself as a sinner. You say, "Yes, Lord, I believe that is true. I have rejected you. I have said to you, I don't want you." You believe, and believe is simply saying, "I trust that Jesus truly is the Son of God who lived and died for me." And the Bible says, you will have eternal life. Now that doesn't sound very interesting to some of us, but you have to go to John 17 verse 3, because it tells us there that eternal life isn't simply about living forever. Because in John 17 verse 3, it tells us that eternal life is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Eternal life is eternal in its length, but in its quality, it is about a reunited relationship with God. It's about enjoying the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's about a life of love. It means living with God in a loving relationship for all eternity. It means enjoying God for all eternity. How many of you have watched the K-drama Startup? A few of you here and there. I see your hand, Startup. For those of you who don't know this show, please do watch it. It's quite good. It's very addictive. I'll give you a very quick rundown. It's a love triangle, and I must tell you, it's the most intense love triangle I've ever experienced in a K-drama. Three characters: Nam Do-sun, Han Ji-pyeong, and they both like this girl called Seo-da-mi. Okay, and no spoilers here. So at some point in the show, apparently, okay, I'm not saying anything, apparently, Han Ji-pyeong doesn't get the girl. Okay, he doesn't get the girl. And there's a scene where he's sitting in a car, and he has two gifts that she has given, right? One is a stack of letters, and the other is a money plant. Now, why does he have these gifts? Watch the movie. Okay, watch the show. So he has these gifts. Apparently, okay, not certain. Apparently, at this point in the movie, he doesn't get the girl. So he's really sad. He glances over at the gifts. He looks up and he says these crushing words: "It's okay. And this is enough." Then we all start crying. Oh, yeah. "It's okay. This is enough." What's he saying? "I can't get the girl, but at least I have the gifts. I can't have her, but at least I have gifts. Friends, do you know what John 3:16 is telling us? And what John 17:3 is telling us? Though you were a sinner, though you rejected God and you continue to hate Him and run away from Him, He has made a way for you to come back to Him and to receive not just His gifts, but Himself. Because to have eternal life is to have a heart, intimate knowledge of God, is to know God and to know His Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, the blessing and the gift of Christmas through Jesus Christ is an invitation to enjoy a relationship with God, who is Trinity, who is Father, who is Son, and who is Holy Spirit. And friends, this is the gift of Christmas. And the simple question to you and to me is this: will we receive this gift of Christmas? Let's pray. Father, we thank You that in this short passage, You reveal to us who You are, who we are, and how our relationship can be fixed, and how we can have You for all eternity. We pray, Father, that You would work among us and in us. Bring us to a place where we acknowledge and understand that, so that we can enjoy and joy unspeakable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.